from pirates to oil. Today, oil is trading at $60 a barrel, and that's down 3% from yesterday, and certainly a far cry from the $147 a barrel prices we saw this summer that led to $4 a gallon. In today's America's briefing book for President-elect Obama, we take a look at oil and energy. Here's candidate Barack Obama in October.
Energy we have to deal with today. That's why I've called for an investment of $15 billion a year over 10 years. Our goal should be, in 10 years' time, we are free of dependence on Middle Eastern oil. And we can do it.
Lisa Marganelli, author of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long, Strange Trip to Your Tank, joins us now for America's Briefing Book. Good morning and welcome back, Lisa.
Good morning.
So how realistic are Obama's campaign promises?
Well, I think it's going to be really hard to get us off, quote, Middle Eastern oil, unquote. I mean, for the same reason that the Middle East cannot have an embargo against us, we actually can't figure out which oil coming in on the tankers comes from the Middle East and say, oh, you know, this tanker needs to turn around and go back, and we're going to only take tankers from Norway. That's just not going to work.
So
that's the first part. And then the second part, I think, would be the price tag.
So what is realistic in your estimation?
Well, I think we can say we're going to cut the amount of oil that we use over the next 10 years, maybe by 20% or something like that. And then if we as a whole are less dependent upon oil, that makes the prices lower. It changes our relationship to the Middle East. But I don't see how, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, do you sit down with a bowl of clam chowder and pick out the clams and say, okay, now it's not clam chowder? I mean, basically, 60% of the reserves in the world of oil are in the Middle East. So
right. How
do you use oil and say it's not from the Middle East?
I don't get that. What is the deal today? Everyone with these food analogies, anchovies and clam chowder. And Lisa,
slightly stinky seafood analogy.
It's something going on here. You know, today, a 3% spike downward in oil. I mean, we are looking at an oil market that bounces 3%, 4%, 8% on a daily basis. What are the consequences of that?
Well, this volatility is really crazy. I mean, we thought high prices were bad, but I think that prices bouncing around, you know, it's not as bad for drivers. We think, well, the pressure is kind of off of us. But I think that for industry in the long term, it's really hard to deal with really insecure prices. And, you know, as Obama gets more comfortable in office, one of the things he's going to have to break to us is that prices are not the main thing we need to worry about. We need to worry about the volatility. We need to worry about the greenhouse gases. We need to worry about the drain on the economy and all these other things. And then he can steer us towards this larger energy plan, which I think is a pretty good idea.
Well, Lisa, that's certainly a tall order to ask people to ignore gas prices. But let's just talk about what you said a minute ago about 20% cutting our dependence by 20% over 10 years. What would need to happen in order for us to get there?
Well, we'd need to really increase the CAFE standards for our cars. We'd need to probably lower the speed limit to 55 miles an hour, retime the stoplights, puff up our tires, the whole bit, and people would really need to change some of their commuting patterns.
Move back downtown?
Excuse me?
Move back into the cities?
If they can. I don't know if we can do that in 10 years, but yeah. Or use van pools. I think there are ways to cut by 20% or so. I think that one of Obama's plans is to put more biofuels in the mix. Another plan in California, at least, is to use plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, and possibly that could have a big impact. I'm not sure.
But to get the maximum efficiency from all these kinds of programs, how do you manage this? Is this something that is federally managed in some explicit way, or is it a set of tax incentives that tries to encourage people to go into particular areas, or do you do something really wild, like take some measure of the highway system and turn it into bullet trains?
Wow, wild bullet trains. Bullet trains are really expensive, and it's not sort of the way that we commute at this point, so it's hard for me to imagine it being turned into bullet trains. I think one of the things that you do is you probably turn part of the national electric grid into electrical bullet trains. I mean, one of the things we really need to do is to build out our electrical grid so that it's much more strong. Right now, the one that we have was built by our great-grandparents, or my great-grandparents at least. And And initially, you know, FDR invested in it in the 1920s because he wanted every family in New York to be able to have a waffle iron, which is very cute and sweet, but it's really not where we're at this point. So we need to probably drop $1 trillion or more into our electrical grid and so that we can get more renewable fuels on the grid. So that's one thing. Another thing that we'll need to do is invest in all sorts of alternative technologies and energy efficiency and create all sorts of incentives for more efficient, more, less fossil-dependent energy.
Well, there's just a few suggestions there for the Obama administration. Lisa Marganelli, thank you for joining us as always. Lisa Marganelli
Thank
is author
you.
Of Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long Strange Trip to Your Tank, a book about the oil supply chain. She's also a fellow at the New America Foundation.
And Obama's mentioned even some of those things that Lisa was talking about.
And I think we need to expect it's going to take time.
I want it tomorrow. I want a bullet train tomorrow.